Want applications that can live on-premises or in the cloud? Bring the flexibility of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
And welcome to another in our series of discussions that we're calling Building Clouds, where we discuss building hybrid clouds that can support any device, anywhere. This also happens to be the subtitle of the Building Clouds blog. It's a blog dedicated to resources and information about cloud computing from Microsoft. My name is Kevin Remby, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer and Platform Evangelism team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Now, Bruno Sy is a senior program manager at Microsoft, and we're going to talk with him about something called the SQL Server Self-Service Kit. Bruno, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kevin.
Hi, very, very welcome. Before we get into discussing the kit, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what your role is at Microsoft?
Sure, I'm part of the Customer Architecture and Technology team in the Windows Server and System Center Engineering Group at Microsoft. So what we do is we actually drive customer feedback into the different engineering groups, accelerating cloud adoption and the delivery of knowledge to our customers and community. So you can find some examples of this knowledge and sharings on our Building Clouds blog with tools, blogs, template, for example, and we're going to see some examples today.
All right, yes, let's talk about this SQL Server Self-Service Kit. What problem are we trying to solve with this?
So when talking to his customers and also in my previous role as technical sales, I mean, the ability to automate SQL Server provisioning is probably one of the top requests that we tend to hear about. You know, questions like, can I use my System Center components to provision SQL Server databases, for example, or instances of servers? Can I provide a database as a service to my business user or application owners? So database teams and DBAs, they actually spend a lot of time managing these requests in addition to deploying the SQL Server components. And that's where, when you think about it, that's where cloud computing shines. When you apply the same principles to what we could call SQL as a service, you know, using SQL Server, I mean, for self-service, pooling, for example, and the Windows Server, SQL Server, and System Center stack, I mean, we know it's capable of doing that kind of things, but what we wanted here is to provide a sample solution showcasing it in action that could be used as a foundation, you know, for customers that, you know, if they wanted to customize it for their own needs after that, for example.
All right, so this kind of deployment can't be very simple to do, though, is it? I mean, is there really just one scenario? Is it as simple as that? I mean, I think that the various types of deployments of SQL Server would make this a difficult problem to solve.
Yeah, and you raise a very good point there, Kevin, is that, I mean, deploying SQL Server can mean a lot of different things. And to be fair, I mean, a user requesting a database is often doing that in the context of an application, you know, that he or she wants to use. So the kit actually tries to address different deployment scenarios, seven of them. It supports deploying a database or an instance on a new or a shared existing standalone server. It supports deploying a database or an instance on a shared cluster. And it also supports deploying a SQL Server-enabled environment, meaning actually two virtual machines, one of them with SQL, so that people can, users, you know, could log there after that and drop their own application. So it covers the end-to-end process from the self-service form where users, you know, enter their information to the actual end-user notification via email after automating the actual deployment. The deployment itself is actually handled by the appropriate System Center or artifacts, depending on the deployment types that is chosen.
Okay, so you mentioned System Center, and I imagine there's some different components that are part of that product that are used for this in order to make this work. What specifically are the components that I need to have on hand and configured in order to take advantage of this kit?
Sure. I mean, the current version that we've got out there was built for System Center 2012 SP1, and given that's what is, you know, what most of our customers may be running today in production, and at the heart of the solution, there are Orchestrator runbooks for automation. These runbooks are actually monitoring service manager requests from a self-service standpoint. Although, I mean, the solution has been designed so you could use, you know, another ITSM solution or your own, you know, self-service portal calling the runbooks. And then the actual automation is achieved through scripts and attendee files provided in the solution, of course. And some of the deployment types rely on virtual machine manager with a service template. So, I mean, as a summary, orchestrator and virtual machine manager are mandatory in the solution, and service manager is optional if you want to use that for self-service as well.
So to do this, do you have any recommended hardware minimums, or is it really just going to work in any environment that already supports Microsoft System Center and the System Center-based private cloud?
Well, it should work actually in any environment where you've got the System Center components and the private cloud stack from Microsoft installed. There are a few prerequisites, like, you know, having the images ready in VMM, the SQL Server media handy somewhere on the network, and this is well documented in the instructions. And I would say the actual scalability would depend on what you deploy and how many times you need to deploy it. So it's more the, you know, to scale effectively VMM an orchestrator to achieve these types and the number of deployments you need to do. But I mean, it could scale to what you need to what you needed to scale. And it might be worth mentioning as well that this is a sample solution. We really want to put something out there that people, you know, can use. It works, it's documented how to make it work, but that you can also customize to your own needs as needed as a customer or service provider.
Oh, very good, very good. So you mentioned System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and in some of these deployments, of course, creating new virtual machines from templates from a product, well, actually a tool set, a component of System Center that does support other virtualization besides Hyper-V. And, of course, I'm talking about the big boy out there, VMware. Now, does this toolkit support using VMware as the foundation for the virtualization piece? Is that something that could work?
Yes, correct. The way VMM is being used in the solution would also work if VMware was being used as the backend, you know, with ES6 in as the hypervisor. Now, of course, when it comes to virtualizing SQL Server, I mean, I have to say that there are multiple other good reasons to do it in Hyper-V as a backend, creating performance and management. We have actually a good, good white papers on our website explaining these benefits.
Okay, very good, very good. That's good that we because it is a big install base out there, there's no reason to rule out this solution just because you happen to be using a different virtualization platform. But as you say, do investigate Hyper-V is a very, very solid solution for virtualizing.
And we see actually lots of customers doing that and, you know, using for SQL Server as a workload, using, you know, a new farm for Hyper-V specifically for that. That's something we see a lot.
All right. So we're actually going to attach a video to the end of our recording today. It's a really useful video showing off the self-service kit, and people will get a chance to see it in action using System Center 2012 SP1. Now, that being said, would you be able to give us a brief demonstration of this kit in action?
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to show you an example here, with the kit doing a deployment type. So let's start with the beginning. What you have here on the screen is the self-service portal from Service Manager. So again, you can use Service Manager in there to kind of showcase the end-to-end process. So you can see I've got here what we call a service offering for SQL Server provisioning. And when I go in there, I will have the groups, the different deployment types, and I can choose to deploy database, an instance in the sense of that's, you know, how it's called in the SQL world, or an environment that would be SQL Server enabled. In the example I'm going to run today, I'm going to choose to request a new database, and when going there, I need to actually fill out a form. So that's what an end user would have to fill. So basically, as a user here, I would like to request a new database. So I'm going to give it a name. Like, for example, something like this. You see I can pick the size of the database, and then the user gets the opportunity to pick a few items, like, do you want this to be running on your dedicated server for you, or are you okay to have it running on a shared infrastructure? I'm going to pick dedicated for this time there. And do you want it to be highly available or not, that database, so meaning hosted on a SQL cluster or a standalone server? So by clicking Next and Submit, what's going to happen actually is that we are creating a service manager service request. So There are a set of Orchestrator runbooks. You may remember that from our discussion. And the Orchestrator runbooks are actually monitoring what's happening in Service Manager. So you can see here I've got a runbook in Orchestrator, which is waiting to auto-approve some of the requests. So that's something you could customize, but in the solution as it is today, any type of requests that are for shared environment are automatically approved, and any types of requests for delegated, meaning new servers that will be deployed, have to be approved. And you can see that this runbook is just waiting for incoming requests, and if they are actually shared requests, it automatically approves them. In this case, it's a dedicated one, so I need to actually approve them. So I'm going to the Service Manager console. I'm going to refresh that console, and you can see that I've got here an option to approve a SQL Server deployment. So looking further, we can see that that's something that was just created. You can see the time there here, and I can choose to approve my deployment. So when doing that, let's put something useful like this, and then basically I've approved the deployment. So what should happen now is my runbooks, I've got another runbook here waiting for any pending deployments. So as Service Manager puts my deployments in a pending state, this runbook should kick in and should basically parse the properties of the request to know if it was a database, instance, environment request. You can see, so this should run very soon, but you can see at the bottom here, I've got a test that I did actually earlier today, just, you know, to make sure the demo environment was still running fine. And you can see that, you know, the flow, like it is initially starting a deployment for a database. And in this case, it was creating the VM and then creating the database and then updating the Service Manager request, for example. So in this case, it will also be running. But what will happen actually in my deployments is that it should deploy a new VM. And the way it does that is through a Service Manager, is in Virtual Machine Manager, where basically any new VM that is specific for SQL is going to be part of that service template here, service instance that you see in Virtual Machine Manager. So when my deployment kicks in, it should actually be deploying a new VM, adding it to the SQL form, and on top of that, after that, deploy the database and notify the user. So let's see if the deployment is actually starting or running. Refresh it there. We can see that it says now starting database deployment. It says it's getting out the farm. So let's go back to Virtual Machine Manager, and it should be popping up in not a long time. So here you can see it's moved to deploying, and now it tells me it's creating the VM. So I'm not going to go through the full demonstration today, but as you can see by the previous flow there, after that, it's going to deploy the database and notify the user. I can show you actually an output there on the email for the test I did earlier today. And you can see the user would receive an email telling him the database was created. This was the instance. It's hosted on that server. So now the user can connect. And of course, the runbooks handle the delegation as well. As you can see by the full runbook, do we do deployments? If I show you the end-to-end process here, that's what you will see there on the screen is the full end-to-end process that handles all the deployment types. And basically here in this case, we are looking at a dedicated, no highly available deployment. So it's deploying the VM, delegated the instance, deploying the database, and it will go through that branch and do all the different pieces there. You can see, you mentioned that we're going to have the video mentioned at the end of the session, and in there you can see the full end-to-end deployment all the way until the email.
Well, that's excellent stuff, Bruno. Thanks for sharing that with us. Now, I imagine there has to be some future plans for the kit and additional improvements. What do you have planned for the next release?
Yeah, sure. It's actually very good timing. We are in the final stages of testing the V2 of the SQL Server Service Kit. So more than a replacement for the V1, which was designed for System Center 2012 SP1, if you recall, the goal now is to provide the same set of scenarios for users willing to use some of the new technologies coming with System Center 2012 R2. So for example, the new release will include support for service management automation runbooks. SMA is is an automation engine that is also shipping part of SystemCenter 2012 R2. And the runbooks I showed you in Orchestrator before in the demonstration, they are being ported, converted to service management automation runbooks. So same scenarios using the SMA. So people, you know, using either stack could have, you know, example runbook in for both stacks. The other things that we are adding in that V2 is actually two new deployment scenarios when a user would want to deploy a new database or instance on a new cluster. So that is going to be added there. And for that, actually leveraging some of the new features in SystemCenter 2012 R2 and Windows Server 2012 R2 in Hyper-V, meaning the shared VHD option, which makes it easier, you know, to deploy clusters, for examples, on virtual machines with Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012 R2, and also the new features in VMM service template in VMM 2012 R2, where you can actually say that some of the actions should be done on the first VM being deployed in a tier, and some of the second VM. So that's actually ideal when deploying clusters. So for that, that will be the code will be in the the code will be in the self-service kit, and leveraging some instructions that will be also in the instruction in the documentation.
Do you want to show us a little bit about that?
Yes, sure. So I'm going to show you very quickly some of the examples of what's coming with the V2 there. What you've got on the screen there is the administration portal for the Windows Azure Pack. And in there, we have the automations SMA is actually embedded in there. And you can see the dashboards of what's running and so on and so forth. And actually, we can see the different runbooks. You will see some familiar names there, or prefix with SQL SSK for SQL Server Source Service Kit. It's all the runbooks you saw in Orchestrator now provided as SMA runbooks, so using Windows-based, PowerShell-based workflows. So you can see deployment runbooks, placement runbooks, delegation runbooks, and then the main end-to-end runbooks. So if I show you, for example, one of them, you can view in the code, for example, that it's using PowerShell to the different scenarios, including, for example, just to show you, for instance, this would be creating the database and delegating it. So you can see it's coding the different child runbooks, just like it's doing with Orchestrator, but this time using SMA runbooks. Just to show you when you run it, similar experience, a user would have to enter, you know, like the database, for example, name, database size, and then you can choose, he or she can choose if it's going to be for a dedicated or shared server or highly available or non-highly available server, so meaning cluster or not a cluster. And the user token is actually the user doing the request, so we can send the email. So you can imagine that by putting their self-service portal in front of that, which could be an extension in a Windows Azure Pack portal or another portal, then you would grab the user token and make sure we get the right information to send to the user.
Well, that's great stuff, Bruno. I really appreciate you showing that to us. Now, before we close here, I understand that you've blogged extensively about this kit on the Building Clouds blog. Where can we send folks to learn more about the SQL Server Self-Service Kit and get the bits?
So our blog, the Building Clouds blog, is definitely the best location to look at news and look for news on the solution. It includes a download link, it includes instruction on how to set it up, and also the different videos explaining and showing the kit in action.
Okay, so that would be aka.ms/buildingclouds to go directly to that blog?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and they can do a simple search on SQL Server or self-service. They should be able to find those resources too.
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic, fantastic. SQL Server Self-Service Kit. Well, thank you again, Bruno, so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. You're welcome.
All right, and as we mentioned, we're gonna attach a video to the end of this video, so keep watching if you're interested in seeing more of the self-service kit in action, and I will see you next time on Building Clouds.
In this video, you will be getting more details about the SQL Server Self-Service Kit, what it is, and how you can use it to fully automate deployment of SQL Server workloads on Windows Server. In a nutshell, this solution enables your user to get from the service request on the left side of the screen here to the notification email after deployment on the right side of the screen. More specifically, a set of service manager service requests are being monitored by some Orchestrator runbooks, which in turn orchestrate and call the right artifacts depending on the deployment types.
These artifacts include the VMM service template and some companion script and unattended file for SQL Server that are used to do the actual deployments. When the deployment is finished, a notification is sent all the way back to the user requesting the SQL workload. You can see here the Service Manager request offerings. Then we have the Orchestrator runbooks. This is the main end-to-end process runbooks, and we'll get into more details about the different deployment type it's capable of achieving. And then we have the subroutines here. And then we have the VMM service templates and the companion script being used to do the actual installation. So let's go through an example of one of the deployment types supported by the SQL Server Self-Service Kit. We will be deploying a new database on a new server. So in our main process runbooks, it means we will be going through that branch to deploy a new VM with SQL and an instance, delegate that instance, deploy a new database, and notify the user. So it all starts in the Service Manager service portal. Remember, you may choose to use the Service Manager management pack shipped in the solution, or you may as well just use the runbooks and plug them into your existing ITSM solution or another custom portal you may have. In this case, I'm going to go through the SQL Server Provisioning Services service offering. And in our scenario, what I'm interested in is a new database. You can see that we've got other deployment types, and we're going to cover them at the end of the video to deploy just an instance of SQL Server or an environment including a SQL Server database. Here I'm going to click on the Request a New Database for SQL Server, and you will see the different options provided in the form for the user. So the user has to pick a database name. Let's give it a name like this, for example. Can choose the database size, and then can choose if he wants a dedicated environment for the database or if he wants the database to be hosted on a shared environment with other databases on the same set of servers. In that case, I want a new dedicated database, and I'm not going to pick high availability, but the solution also supports deploying on the clusters. I'm going to click Next to submit the request. So now we've created a service request in Service Manager. The runbooks are actually able, through some Service Manager integration, to actually auto-approve some of the requests. So by default in the solution, the shared requests are automatically approved and the dedicated requests have to be manually approved or externally to the system, like in the Service Manager console, for example. You could, of course, choose to change that as needed. And once the request has been approved, what happens is the request has actually a second step, that is the actual deployment. And this is being monitored by this second runbook, which actually then retrieves all the information and calls the right deployment process. So in our case here, we should need to approve our dedicated request. I'm going here. I can see that I've got a recent request to approve a SQL Server component deployment. I'm going to approve it. And now I can go and look on my runbooks here to look at the actual status on what's happening here. We can see that it's telling us that it's starting deployment for database 01. So that runbook has actually run and processed the information to actually call the end-to-end process now. So we should have that end-to-end process running. And we can see now that it's scanning out, it tells us that it's scanning out the SQL form for the new dedicated and database instance. So if I go to my Virtual Machine Manager console, we can see the SQL form was there with two instances already of a SQL Server installation, and now turns to the deploying state, so it should now be creating a third VM to host the new dedicated database with its dedicated instance that we just requested. So you can see the deployment is starting now. In the backend, we can confirm that in the logs, our deployment is currently at the deploy new VM with SQL instance there, and the deployment that is currently running is here. We can see the runbook running, and it's currently at the steps where it's actually scaling out the service here. If the farm wasn't existing before, it would have actually created the farm using that branch here. So the runbook actually handles both situations when the farm exists or does not exist. So there is something interesting in this runbooks here. These two steps here inject instance names on file. What happens is there are situations, not in the one we're running right now, but there are situations, other deployment types, where a user may want a new instance and may want to pick the name of the instance. So what happens is we need to pass that information so that when the SQL server is actually installed, it retrieves the instance name and feeds that into the unattended files. So here in parallel, we have actually these other runbooks waiting for the VM to be deployed at the OS level to drop the instance name data on the VM so that when the VM is customized to instance SQL, we can retrieve that directly inside the VM to actually know the instance name and pass that to the unattended file. So that's something that's going to happen behind the scenes after that. In our case here, we are passing the default MS SQL Server parameter because we're using just a default instance name in this specific scenario. So the actual service template is here. It's a single-tier service template so that any new SQL Server VM is grouped with this with its peers there. And if I look at the properties, so of course it's deploying an operating system, in this case Windows Server 2012, here, and configuring it. You can see the naming pattern that is applied here. It's joined to a domain, and then when you look at the application configuration, then we have this script here using PowerShell that is actually doing the installation. So what it does is it waits for to make sure the instance name data has been fully, you know, deployed by the runbooks on the target machine, and when it's got that information, then it connects remotely to the share where the SQL Server installation files are located, and then runs a SQL setup by adding dynamically to the response files all the information needed to make that to customize that deployment and execute it. So this is going to run now and continue installing the operating system and SQL Server. So we can see the VM's deployment status is currently sitting at 99%. If we look at the job, it's probably currently deploying the applications, so the different scripts, and in that case, one script doing the SQL Server installation. So moving fast forward, our deployment is currently finishing. Let's quickly try to connect to the SQL Server instance here that was deployed here. So we can see that we connect in to that default instance. There are no specific database created for now, and no login for my user that has been requesting the database there. So to provision our new database, we can see that we had a new default instance MS SQL Server installed on a new server, and now the runbook is going to continue the end-to-end process. If we go back to it and look at where it's currently sitting, it's now delegating the instance, and we'll then move on to deploying the database as well. So that's what's going to happen now in the rest of the runbook. To actually do the delegation, it's running to these specific runbooks. We can see it's currently running, and it's using SQL Server scripts to actually doing the delegation. To create the database, it's going to run this runbook, and based on the information from the form that we passed along the different runbooks, it knows that it needs to create a database with a specific name and a specific size, and it's going to be using SQL Server PowerShell commandlet to do that. So let's wait for the full process to be finished by looking at the events. We just saw the email pop up about the user notification. Tells us now that the deployment has finished. And the last step that needs to happen is actually the update of the ITSM record. Because remember, the integration with ITSM there, in that case, Service Manager is optional. But if the runbooks gets as an optional parameter the ID of a service request, then it updates it in the main process here. So you see all the branches finished by an ITSM integration question mark, and if that's the case, they update the service request. You can see by refreshing the events that now it tells us that it has updated that ITSM request here. So by the way, if we look at the full steps here on the log, so it started the deployment there, and then it told us that it was about to scale out the farm. We have here the information about, you know, the instance file that needs to be, the data about the instance name that needs to be put on the SQL server, the future SQL server. So that was the child runbook doing that operation and then dropping the file when needed, so that when the actual deployment scripts run inside a VM creation, then they're able to retrieve the instance name. So here it tells us that the VM was fully deployed, the VMM job was finished, and actually that job picked up the file along the way. Then the next step was about to tell us that the VM was created, and now it was moving on to the database creation. So you can see starting to deploy the database using the SQL Server commandlet PowerShell, and then the deployment of the database was finished, and the full deployment was finished and ITSM updated. So if we go back actually to see the server connection we have here, and now if you refresh the list of the databases on that server, we can see now that DB01 is there. And if we look at the logins here, we can see that the administrator user was added there. So administrator is added there because we did the test as an administrator, but it's actually picking up the login of the person doing the request from the portal. So that could be, of course, the another user, depending on the user doing the actual request. Now let's look at the email that was received. We saw it popping up briefly on the screen here. And it tells us that the database 01 was created, was hosted on that server, and this is the instance name that was created using, in that case, the default one. And the server is part of the SQL Farm 01 in Virtual Machine Manager, something we can see again here, SQL Server Farm 01. And then we get the machine number 3 that has been added here. So in this example, we deployed a new database on a new VM. So that means we went through that branch to deploy a new dedicated VM and then drop a database on that VM. But we could have also gone through that branch to actually deploy a new VM with a specific instance name and notify the user. The kit also supports other deployment types, including deploying database and instances on shared environments. So this could be standalone environment. So basically we have a group of SQL Server ready to host new instances or databases. And it could also be some clusters that are ready to receive new instances or databases as well. So these deployment types are fully supported there by the kit and included in the sample runbooks. We also have the ability to deploy a new environment, and in which case it's actually, what it means is it's going to deploy a set of multiple VMs, including SQL Server on one of the tiers, to support, you know, a future application in there. So this is using the service template example kit that is also available on the Building Clouds blog as a foundation there. The one scenario that is listed here but not actually executed through the runbook is this one. It's about deploying a new highly available dedicated environment, meaning a new cluster. This is something we're looking at adding in a future update of the solution. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing about your experience using the SQL Server Self-Service Kit.